Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Our nation's athletes are doing very, very well at the Olympics in Paris. They're representing our nation well. We should be proud of them. Well, most of them. Most of our athletes properly stood tall with their hands over their hearts or stood appropriately when our national anthem was played as they received their medals. But a few did not stand tall and respectfully. These, or anyone like them, should never be allowed to represent our nation anywhere. To represent the United States of America, we should only pick people who love our nation and are proud of it, as well as being qualified skill-wise. Yes, Americans have the right to feel however they wish about their country, but anyone who doesn't properly represent us should not be allowed to represent us. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. You watch any of the Olympics, Skip?
Colonel, I did not watch any of the Olympics. And the odd thing is, I'm kind of an outlier. I don't even have a television coming into my house. I mean, we watch like movies or DVDs, but we've just chosen to kind of unplug from that. And I know what's going on because, you know, I listen to the news and the internet and all of that stuff, but I just choose not to immerse myself and in my family in everything that's going on in the culture out there.
That's a wise move. I don't watch TV much either. My wife likes watching sports on TV, so she calls me in anytime there's something that she thinks I like. So we're a little bit alike, you and I guess. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the very inappropriate way Vice Presidential candidate Tim Walz presents his military experience and the very positive experience with another sergeant that all this brought to my mind. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Mike Bond, a world expert on crude supply and oil refining and on Russia and Eastern Europe and more, is also an author, will discuss his latest book and oil in the world. Then Colonel Scott Fisher will present the Officer's Christian Fellowship. Marine Vet Donnie Dottenbaugh will present the Coalition for American Heroes. And General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter and join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. Of course, we'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, Iran's new president reaffirmed Tehran's dedication to destroying Israel, saying its proxies across the region will not allow the Jewish state's criminal policies to continue. His win in July isn't expected to produce any major policy shifts, but Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and the militias in Iraq and Yemen know to keep up what they're doing.
Given this clear statement by Iran, how can anyone, especially our nation or the UN, in any way criticize Israel for seeking to destroy the agents whose mission is to destroy Israel?
And Ukrainian forces are pushing further into the Kursk region of Russia in a cross-border incursion that surprised even our officials. Ukrainian forces are comprised of a mix of Ukrainian regular and special operations units, unlike previous operations inside Russia that often involved undercover units and local sympathizers. The intention, say the officials, is multifaceted, in part to disrupt and demoralize Russian forces, and in part to divert Russian forces away from other parts of the Eastern Front. Our officials don't believe Ukraine intends to hold Russian territory for the long term. Russia claimed to have halted a Ukrainian incursion into its territory, but later said that some battles are ongoing in the Kursk region. According to the Russian Ministry of Defense, units of the North Group of its forces, together with the Russian Federal Security Service, continue to destroy Ukrainian armed forces formations in the Sudansky and Kurovensky districts of the Kursk region, which are directly adjacent to the Russian-Ukrainian border. CNN cannot independently verify these claims.
It seems like Russia is constantly being embarrassed during this war. I wonder when they'll stop it. It's clear that the Russian leadership is evil.
And Eric Prince is an American entrepreneur, former Navy SEAL officer, and founder of the private military company Blackwater. Here are some of his recent comments about our current military. Quote, "It's a result of a culture of no accountability for failure, and that allows people to drift so far off the mission. If the mission is to be zero failure to protect or whatever the mission is of a federal agency, it allows them to distract into green initiatives, DEI initiatives, all kinds of other things that truly distract them from what the actual mission of what they're supposed to be doing. Yeah, DEI is a factor, but it's really a culture of political correctness and no merit. That's what's exceedingly dangerous. We become every bit as rotted as the Soviet society was before the Soviet Union collapsed, unquote. Then he shared, I have a lot of confidence in the men from the units, that the kind of units that we came from. I don't have supreme confidence in all the officers, but I have a lot of confidence in, let's say, commanders and below, because they're the right kind of people. I recently attended a Special Forces Q course graduation, and it was so heartening. It was 220 studs. They knew exactly which bathroom to use. They were there to serve their country, and it was great.
Prince's observations are totally consistent with all the other resources I have. We have good people, but they need to be trained to be mission-focused if our nation's military is to be effective.
And what should have been a quick trip to the International Space Station may turn into an 8-month stay for two NASA astronauts. There's lingering uncertainty over the safety of Boeing's new Starliner capsule, NASA officials said, and the space agency is split over the risk. As a result, chances are increasing that test pilots Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams may have to watch from the space station as their Starliner is cut loose to return to Earth empty. If that happens, NASA would leave behind two of four astronauts from the next SpaceX taxi flight in late September, with a vacant seat set aside for Wilmore and Williams on a return trip next February. The pair expected to be gone just a week or two when they launched June 5 as Starliner's first crew. NASA is bringing in additional experts to analyze the failures experienced by Starliner before it docked, and NASA is looking more closely at SpaceX as a backup.
This is very awkward, but ensuring the safety of our astronauts is very important.
And Iran is accelerating online activity that appears intended to influence our upcoming election, in one case, targeting a presidential campaign with an email phishing attack, Microsoft said. Iranian actors also have spent recent months creating fake news sites and impersonating activists, laying the groundwork to stoke division and potentially sway American voters this fall, especially in swing states, the technology giant found. The findings in Microsoft's newest threat intelligence report show how Iran, which has been active in our recent elections, is evolving its tactics for another election that's likely to have global implications. The report goes a step beyond anything our intelligence officials have disclosed, giving specific examples of Iranian groups and the actions they have taken so far. Iran's UN mission denied it had plans to interfere or launch cyber attacks in our presidential election. The report doesn't specify Iran's intentions besides sowing chaos here, though our officials have previously hinted that Iran particularly opposes former President Trump. Our officials also have expressed alarm about Tehran's efforts to seek retaliation for a 2020 strike on an Iranian general that was ordered by Trump. The Justice Department unsealed criminal charges against a Pakistani man with ties to Iran who is alleged to have hatched assassination plots targeting multiple officials, potentially including Trump. The report also reveals how Russia and China are exploiting our political polarization to advance their own divisive messaging.
No surprise here. Our enemies do all they can to mess up our nation, and cyber attacks like these are to be expected. I think it's safe to say they don't want our nation to have a dynamic, experienced president who knows who our enemies are. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CVAFrontlines.com. That's CVAFrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some more wisdom. Then we'll talk with the amazing and multi-talented guy, Mike Bond. Eddie's troops, take a break.
Question for you. Have you ever wondered what you do if you are forced to defend yourself or your family? It's not fun to think about, but the truth is these situations can happen to anyone, so it's important to be prepared. In addition to likely being one of the worst days of your life, if you don't have self-defense coverage, you could be left with a mountain of legal bills. Join U.S. Law Shield today and receive immediate coverage, affordable, customizable membership options, and peace of mind.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your home defense tip of the week. Sit down with your children and make a plan for home defense. Let them know that if shooting starts, they should drop to the ground for safety. If they hear breaking glass or see a home invader, they should notify you immediately if safely possible. If they can't get to you, they should hide until the danger is over. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins. And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation going crazy and prices up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing those solid investments from Universal Coin. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Last weekend, the story came out about Minnesota Governor and retired Minnesota National Guard Command Sergeant Major and now Vice Presidential candidate Tim Walz being guilty of strongly misrepresenting some of his military service. He must have been a darn good leader at some point to be considered for Command Sergeant Major, but it's clear that there are some integrity issues as he misrepresented his military service in a number of ways, like the rank he retired as a Master Sergeant, not a Command Sergeant Major, and the fact that he said he'd served in combat when he didn't. To me, the most offensive thing he did was to drop out and not deploy with his men. This really bugs me. I could go on and on, but I won't. I'm sure you've heard all this already. When I heard about this story, I was outraged. Honorable military people simply don't puff up their stories. This is doubly true of leaders. But what came to mind was the story of the finest soldier I ever knew or served with, Sergeant Major Robert Cook. My first tour to Vietnam began in October 1965. I served as a rifle platoon leader. I came home a year later, married my fiancée, and reported to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, where I was promoted to captain and given command of an airborne rifle company in the 101st Airborne Division. The senior sergeant in my company was First Sergeant Robert Cook. Like me, he'd served a year in Vietnam. He was an advisor to the South Vietnamese Army. First Sergeant Cook and I really clicked. He had to teach me, a brand new captain, how to run a company, and he did. The officers, sergeants, and other enlisted men in our company were a great team. We trained well, and we were a very good outfit. That summer, I had my very first trip to Michigan when we deployed to the Detroit riots. When we returned, we were advised that our entire division would be deploying to Vietnam that December. We received reinforcements to get us up to full strength, and we did a lot of field training to get fully ready to deploy. Then was announced that enlisted men, which include all sergeants, who had served in Vietnam did not have to deploy again. They could transfer to non-deploying units. First Sergeant Cook told me he'd be staying with our company. We had trained it. We knew the men. We'd fight it together. To make an understatement, I was very glad to hear that, but I wasn't surprised. Real leaders really care for their men, and we were a combat unit trained and ready to go. How could any leader just abandon the team he'd helped build when it was time for combat? We deployed and ended up around the city of Wei just in time for the Tet Offensive in January 1968. First Sergeant Cook could legitimately have spent a good deal of time in the base camp handling awards, replacements, resupply, and the like, but he didn't. We had just over 100 men in three rifle platoons. As I led the company in operations, he was there. Regardless of how things were going, how intense the battle was, he positioned himself near the platoon I was furthest from. We were a very effective company. I could tell stories about the things he did, but I think you get the picture. He was a great combat leader. Well, after 4 or 5 months, I got hurt and was medevaced. After 2 days, they said I was good to go back to my company. Unfortunately, they'd already assigned another captain to command my company. The new captain was a good friend of mine. I was put to work helping run the division's tactical operations center. They said I was sent there because they really needed some people there who'd been in combat and knew the terrain and the enemy. That's logical. Okay, First Sergeant Cook stayed with the company for the rest of the year. Because of his long service with the company and his volunteering to return to Vietnam and his excellent leadership and bravery in Vietnam, I worked with the captain who replaced me and the battalion commander to nominate First Sergeant Cook for the Legion of Merit, an award for outstanding service rarely awarded to enlisted men. It took some work to get it through the bureaucracy, but he finally received it. Very shortly after receiving the award, he was selected for promotion to Sergeant Major. Years later, when he retired from the Army, he returned to the Fort Campbell area. There he became a pastor of a church. Our friendship remained. We exchanged letters and phone calls. Once, I don't remember the occasion, he invited me to come to his church. He was having services on both Friday and Sunday that week. I was to preach at both of them. We spent all day Saturday on post at Fort Campbell, reliving our days there when we ran Company C. He was later made a bishop in his denomination. He died about 10 years ago. First Sergeant Cook was perhaps the finest soldier I ever knew and was one of the most wonderful human beings I ever had as a friend. So, the story of an inappropriate action by a former National Guardsman, Tim Woltz, brought back a great memory. Let's all seek to be like Sergeant Major Robert Cook. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Well, if you've been around the military, then you've certainly heard of USAA, the bank and insurance company. Unfortunately, USAA may be ordered to pay $64.2 million to service members in a settlement over improper bank fees and interest. In a class action lawsuit against USAA, the plaintiffs alleged that the bank did not lower interest rates or fees in compliance with the Service Members Civil Relief Act, causing improper inflation of customers' principal balances, resulting in calculations of compound interest that were based on the higher balances. And the bank is also accused of concealing their overdues from thousands of military families. This, of course, is not in compliance with the Service Members Civil Relief Act. In its current form, the Service Members Civil Relief Act was passed in 2003 and is designed to protect troops from financial burdens while they're serving the U.S. military by suspending, postponing, or reducing obligations like loans, rent, or insurance costs. According to the lawsuit, the U.S. Treasury found 546 violations of the Act and 54 violations of the Military Lending Act, including failure to protect military reservists from high fees and wrongful repossession of vehicles. In 2020, USA was fined $85 million for failing to implement or maintain an effective program to monitor compliance. Also, it must be understood that this is actually the company's credit card subsidiary, which is now part of USA Federal Bank. Members of the class action include troops who had a credit card account or a loan with USAA Bank while actively serving any time after May 4, 2009, and would have been subject of an interest rate reduction protection under the Act. Now, USAA has said they strongly disagree with the charges, but have decided to settle as it is in the best interest of their members to avoid a lengthy and expensive litigation. USAA went on to say they actually already compensated members for errors that may have occurred related to these allegations. However, according to the lawsuit, those checks were sent with correspondence that was misleading and appeared to be a solicitation or junk mail. Now, since I fall into that category of being on active duty after 2009, and having a loan with them, I don't remember ever seeing a check, and I'm guessing I also assumed it was just junk mail. Now, the settlement still requires a judge's approval, which could result in each plaintiff receiving slightly more than maybe $200, and the four named plaintiffs, which happen to all be former members of the Army Reserve or Army National Guard, would be getting an estimated $20,000 each. So if the settlement's approved, details about the settlement and how to opt out of the settlement will be posted on www.usaabankclassaction.com. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I always enjoy what you present. That's great. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with oil and Mideast expert Mike Bond. Then we'll learn about the Officers Christian Fellowship. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with the front lines of freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50, then stand at ease.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com. We are fighting for the American farmer. U.S.-only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com. Use your promo code FREEDOM, and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. PatriotFoods.com. Promo code FREEDOM.
For over 10 years, Concerned Veterans for America has been fighting for better health care options for veterans.
Thanks to our thousands of activists around the country, we've been able to expand options for veterans who use the VA for their care.
But there is more to be done, and you can help. We need voices just like yours to call on Congress to continue reforming the VA and empowering veterans with more choice over their care.
Learn more and join the movement by visiting cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome Mike Bond to the show. Mike's considered a world expert on crude supply and oil refining and a specialist in Russia and Eastern Europe. He's a former war correspondent and an intelligence expert and an international energy company CEO. And he's an author. He's written 12 best-selling books. So I don't think he's ever bored. Anyway, welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you very much, Denny. It's an honor to be here, and it's an honor to have an opportunity to speak to America's veterans and troops. God bless you all.
Thank you, brother. Mike, give us a quick overview of your life. How did you get into so many challenging and interesting areas in one lifetime?
Well, I think I was a bit of an outsider, and that started it off, Denny, and then I've always been very involved in military issues, though I never served as a regular soldier. I was on the unknown, if you wish. My dad was a combat officer in World War II and received so many medals for incredible courage that he finally just put him away somewhere. But I've grown up in a very military consciousness, and that led to a lot of the early war correspondent work that I did in both in Latin America and in the Middle East and in Africa, as a matter of fact, and a little bit in Asia, but not much. And I've always been interested in energy because when I was a kid, sitting there looking at a fire in the fireplace in Maine, where I grew up, and I tried to figure out, where did that fire come from? A piece of wood is suddenly aflame and it's warm. And that led to my very deep interest in all forms of energy, particularly oil and electricity. Went on to end up doing some national projects in energy, as well as in military in the U.S. And went on to just followed my star and went from kind of from the whole war background into energy, which is very closely connected. It's one of the things that comes out in my books that you have mentioned. So there's a very strong link between the U.S. military, recent military history, and oil and natural gas, as well as electricity. So, and the books just came as a result, Denny, of these interests. Once I learned something about something, I wanted to write about it, and I wanted to spread the word of what I'd learned, whether it was well done or not. I just wanted to get it out there.
Well, you know, that is sort of how life works, isn't it? I know some people who dad was a physician, so I'm going to be a physician or something like that. But most of us grew up and just suddenly found ourselves doing something that led to something else. So
exactly. Yep.
So that makes sense.
And it turned out to be fun and valuable.
Yes. And the fun part's the most important part. Okay. I'd like to start with your latest book, Crude. It's about the world being on the brink of World War III. I guess we're there anyway. And it involves a U.S.-owned oil rig in the South China Sea and the war in Ukraine. This is a hard put to book down, though I did put it down several times while I was reading it. Take us to Crude, Mike.
And all of my books, Denny, are to a certain extent meant to be a communication, a passing on a word to our fellow Americans about dangers we face. And we right now, from my own intelligence background, I've been studying nuclear war for many years. And I think we're at the most dangerous point in history. The Ukraine situation, which was entirely unnecessary and largely the early on a fabrication of the Obama administration, has become really, we're now at the point Russia has always said that the moment its territory is threatened, it may resort to nuclear arms. And I just feel we're at the most dangerous point in human history, and we must realize that a nuclear war can happen almost instantly at any point, and it's the end of everything. So I don't think that enough attention is being paid to this danger, and it surpasses not only our military, but every single human being and animal on the face of the earth.
Well, yes, and you don't have to be an engineer or a scientist to understand the logic of what you just said. And certainly China is, in my opinion, our number one enemy. Mm-hmm. And I can't understand why we don't feel a need to be energy independent. But apparently, in crude, we're at least trying to be energy independent. Do I read that right?
Yeah, I think so. In essence, I wanted to call you sir, given your background. And we had a brief period under the Trump administration where we were completely energy independent. In fact, we were exporting energy. And this is very important because once you make a link with somebody, once you buy oil from Saudi and become dependent on it, once you buy oil from Indonesia or wherever, you're in a bit of a fool's bargain because they're not going to just sell you oil. They're going to try to change your politics as well. And we've seen this time and time again, particularly in the Middle East, where I've spent a lot of time. To not be energy independent is to really risk a loss of natural sovereignty.
I completely agree. I think if there's two things that we need to be independent on, it's energy and food.
Yep, totally. You
know, yeah. I mean that. But yet, while we have been that in the past, we're not now. And I certainly can see a World War III coming up over energy. I mean, gosh, how could it not? I mean, if sure. anything's going to happen, that'll be the driving point, I would think.
And that's why we have to be so ready. We have to be energy independent because, I mean, you have we don't really have a president right now. The guy who's in Delaware, who's in some other point in his mind. I mean, he's been running down our petroleum reserves as a political gambit to keep the price of oil down. But that shows you how uniquely threatened we can be by even an idiotic president. And I'm not trying to be political here. It's just that what's very important is that we have a strong command over our government at all times, and we do not have that now. We don't even know who's got the nuclear football, as it's called. And as I point out in Crude, Denny, a kind of feeble president can pretty much push the button. It's a very complicated process, but can push the button pretty much all on his own. And the other side of it too, going back to something I just touched on, you mentioned I've had a great deal of experience in Russia. I've been in all 11 time zones. I've spent a lot of time talking with people all over the place. Until this war broke out, wherever an American went in Russia, they were welcomed. And people would say, oh, you're American, come have a drink, or, you know, come and have dinner with my family. And it doesn't matter, for all the way from Vladivostok to St. Petersburg, which is what, I don't know, as I said, 11 time zones. So they were incredibly friendly to us. And this is why to create an enemy out of one that wasn't an enemy is very idiotic. And particularly, as you point out, when China represents a far greater risk.
Well, yes, and it's my experience, most of it through other people, that in most countries that are enemies of ours, quote unquote, like Iran and Russia, the mm-hmm. people don't feel like that. It's their dictators.
Exactly.
Their dictators.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny you mention Iran because I do have a strong background there, going all the way back to when the Shah was still there. And we've tampered with their government so many times, it just really got them ticked off. And we're the ones that kind of brought in the Ayatollahs because of the way we had messed with their government. And now, once we had the Ayatollahs in there, we were in trouble. And back in the day, I have to say that when the Ayatollah, the initial Ayatollah, was living in France, it was widely discussed. Isn't it time for this guy to take a short walk off a long dock, or a long walk off a short dock? I mean, we had a chance to get rid of the guy, and instead we fumbled it. Like we fumbled so many things in our international affairs. And again, back Lebanon, I've spent a lot of time in Lebanon, and time again, I've seen that we had opportunities that we entirely ignored. And now we're in worse situations.
We are. There's more to discuss about oil and energy, and Mike is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, used to do before I got into my mid-80s. Then take a break and stay in the area. Mike and I will be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health, and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Mike Bond. We've been talking about his book, Crude. It's amazing. And now it's time to put him on the crude supply and oil refining side, though I think the two mix so well that we've talked about both before. Mike, as we've said before, our nation has been energy independent, but it's not now. And we both agreed that we should be. Oil is powering the world. And we keep being told that's bad for us, but I don't think it is.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh, Danny, but those idiots that say things like that, I just can't. Yeah. If oil is bad for us, like breathing is bad for us.
Yeah, I know. It's one of the problems with the world is we have too many cows. I mean, you know, it's.
Oh, God, yes. Yep.
And
yep.
The challenge is that. That's become a religion, not a scientific discussion. Do you agree?
Totally agree. I mean, you can call it woke if you wish, and all that that goes along with woke, it's enough. I mean, I have white hair, but if I didn't have white hair, that would have given it to me all on its own. And back to the push-ups, man, I'm lucky if I can get away with 20 anymore, but I'm 81 years old, so what the heck?
Well, you're just a kid. I'm 83.
So, oh, my God, are you really? Well, you're doing better than I am. At least your picture looks better than my picture.
But neither of us look good then. Look yeah. Good. Okay. Talk to us about oil. One, there's plenty of it, as near as I can tell. We keep finding new major resources. And so far as I think, it hasn't destroyed the world. And there's no indication that the world is being destroyed. Is oil somehow not good? I think we both agree that it is good. Talk to us about the use of oil and the role it plays.
One way to look at it, Denny, is to think before we had oil and all we had was horses and, well, we had steam power and locomotives. But all I know is my dad told me when he was a kid growing up in Portland, Maine, by the end of January, there was so much frozen horse manure on the street, you couldn't even get back and forth. We have to be very careful about, first of all, about listening to people who know nothing about the evils of oil. Because our entire modern society is, and I bring this out in my book, Crude, is entirely based on oil. There are millions and millions of vehicles at any moment on the earth traveling from place to place. They are the link, economic link that keeps countries going. Oil is also, it's a source of war, but it's also a source of unification between nations. It can kind of go either way. And we have to, returning to what you just said about the importance of being self-reliant, once we're not, we're in a situation, for instance, where in the Middle East, they can cut off our supply if they don't like what we're doing. And then what are we going to do? I mean, are we going to go back to horses and carriages and try to fly an airplane? I love it when they talk about they're going to have electric-powered airplanes. That is not going to work, and not in any functional phase. So oil is essential. It's the energy that links humanity together. And in fact, in my book, the person who's the center of the book, who is the CEO of an oil company, as I have been, their motto is, energy is life, and it is. Without energy, there is no life. I'm not sure, Denny, that I'm answering your question, but that's the basis of Crude, is that we have to be practical about how we use energy, but we also have to be aware that we can't live without it.
Yeah, and that is the point that I want to make clear, because in our lifetime, we've seen a lot of life. The world hasn't changed much, and the world is always changing a bit one way or another. It's warmer or colder or something more or something. It hasn't, and in my lifetime, I haven't seen anything substantially change. My dad hadn't seen anything substantially change. This belief that we have to stop polluting, apparently the world, the way God made it, can handle pollution, at least to an extent. We're nowhere near the edge, wherever that is. That's my observation, and I presume it's yours.
Absolutely. I think there is climate change, but I think it can be, it doesn't mean we have to give up the modern way of life. There's so many things that one can do to alleviate climate change. One of the major ones is just reforestation. And a lot of the other things are related just to overpopulation. So much of the world is overpopulated. And back to China again, that's a perfect example. I think to listen to all of the silly fools fussing about oil is the culprit. We have to remember we have a lot of people in academics and in the media who have no brains at all and who consistently make things up and then try to promulgate them on the world. I think we all have to realize what energy is valuable for. And yet, in Crude, one of the other things I point out is the link, and this is you mentioned this earlier, Denny, the link between war and oil. And we have many times gone to war to protect or to control oil reserves. And in fact, I was not involved in them, but I happened to be present in a number of U.S. coups, takeovers of other governments that were largely instituted by oil. The takeover of the Indonesian government, for instance, back in 65, the multiple takeovers of a number of different Middle East nations, including Iran and Iraq. There's no end of, and in fact, where you served so very honorably in Vietnam, the underside of a lot of that war was to control the South China Sea because of its reserves. And so I think we have to realize that we have to find a better way to agree on the utilization of energy resources without ending up in World War III, as you mentioned earlier. And even in the Middle East, I mean, right now, I have a lot of background in Syria and Lebanon and Egypt. And if you look at Hezbollah, which is generally the perpetrator of most of this evil, Hezbollah is nothing but a front for Iran. And Iran is a huge oil producing nation that is out of touch with most of the rest of the world. So there's a strong link between all three of them, and in crude, my concern is that we're headed toward nuclear war unless we immediately resolve some of these issues.
Yes, I agree with you. There's a lot we could talk about, but we're getting to be out of time. Mike, take a quick minute and mention a couple of the books you have and how people can buy a copy of Crude or one of your other books.
Thank you, Danny. The easiest way is just going on Amazon. Most of my sales are on Amazon, either for the paperback or for the, you know, internet version. The ones that are mostly involved, I've written a number of books relating to war from my own background. I wrote Holy War about my experiences in Lebanon and Syria right after the attack on the U.S. Marines in 83 and the previous attack on the U.S. Embassy. I wrote another, Assassins, which starts out dealing with the war in Afghanistan and ends up dealing with the terrorist attacks in Paris. And I wrote another one, House of Jaguar, about U.S. Hidden wars in Central America. All of those books I've written, Crude is now my 13th book, and most of my books are related to war. Another one is Goodbye Paris, which is related to the Muslim takeover of areas of France. And if you just go on Amazon and look up Mike Bond books, they're all there. And I have my Kindle version is only 99 cents, the print versions are not too expensive. And they're selling very widely, so that's the best place to go, Danny.
Awesome. Mike, thank you. Thank you for your excellent comments today and for the multiple ways you're serving our nation and the world. I'm proud to call you a friend.
Well, thank you so much, Denny. And I just want to give a thanks again to all our combat vets and all our people serving. We love you all. We're all together.
Amen. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Colonel Scott Fisher about the Officers Christian Fellowship. Marine vet Donnie Dautenbaugh will then discuss the Coalition for America's Heroes. General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. And of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. Troops U.S. Law Shield is a part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. If you have weapons for defense of your family and yourself, and you ever need to use a legal weapon, you'll need legal defense. U.S. Law Shield is the team my wife and I use. Go to uslawshield.com and use the code word Frontlines. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 40 good ones, maybe 20 more push-ups. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.